Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Chris on IMTN Worldwide Radio, and this is Around the ATL. April 25th is the date, and it is a dark day in Atlanta Hawks history for sure. We're on the precipice here. 646-652-4479 is the number. We're going to get the show started in a moment. I want to say thanks to those who are going to be watching either now, later, or next year, next decade, next 300 years from now. Appreciate the support on IMTN Worldwide Radio. Those who watch from Twitter, all the fans there. Also on Facebook, obviously. Jordan will probably do a few shout-outs. Speaking of Jordan, let's go ahead and bring our co-host for tonight, Mr. Jordan Jackson, to the show.
What's going on, sir?
Man, what's going on? How you doing, man?
Oh, man. Not too well, sir. Not too well. Quite a disappointing game last night, which I know we'll get into, but let's just say it's been quite the interesting day on Hawks Twitter with some of the discussions that have gone on back and forth, you know, with the whole what, when, where, how, and why on last night's debacle. With that said, I do want to give a shout out to all those on Hawks Twitter. Certainly appreciate you guys listening. As a matter of fact, I need to go and drop the link to the show in the little conversation I was just having. And yeah, man, aside from that, sir, I guess we got to talk about it, so.
Well, before we actually move forward, I'm going to give you a few moments to actually throw that out on Twitterville, because I just did, but I want you to follow up. In the meantime, I'm going to do the following real quick, just as a little bit of a buffer. So I had completely forgot to check the mailbox today. So right before the show started, I went to my mailbox, and guess what? I have shirts. So over the years, I have been working with a young man named Jamal Price, the owner of the Originative brand. He is the founder of a Facebook page that is dedicated to Atlanta Hawks fans specifically called New Pack City. And I've been a member of that page for 5 years. So guess what? I got my 5-year shirt for New Pack City. So check it out. Really cool. And I also got a Braves shirt to represent the fact that we are the best team in the United States of America and the world. My championship shirt for the Atlanta Braves. So check it out. So if you want custom made attire that is Atlanta-centric in regards to sports, make sure you visit the Originative brand Instagram page. Make sure you let them know that Around the ATL sent you, because I tried to fix my tie here last minute. And get your gear. I have several shirts. The only reason I'm not wearing the shirt now is because, again, I just checked my mailbox. But I'll be wearing it on subsequent shows this week. But I have all kinds of different shirts. I have one custom shirt, Luca Ain't a Hawk. And we'll get into that a little bit later as well, I'm sure. But some really cool stuff there. So make sure you visit his page, the Originator Brand. And there it is posted on the scroll there, right there. Visit the Originator Brand on Instagram today. Make sure you let them know Around the ATL sent you. So go check that out. So as we get ready to get started, let me go ahead and put the number up there, 646-652-4479. So wherever you might be listening in or watching the show, feel free to call in. You can also message us. Let's go ahead and put something in the comment section and see if anybody even wants to do there or say anything about the game. Let's see, what do you think about the Hawks right now? I do have some things I do want to mention. I'm going to wait for Jordan to come back before we get officially started for tonight. But again, thanks for the support. We have three shows. Actually, I'll do that too. We have two more shows this week. We have our NFL draft show that we have not had the last season in regards to, you know, pandemic and other things going on. But we've had them the last few years of Around the ATL. So we have a two-hour draft show coming up Wednesday night. So check that out. Starts at 10 o'clock. And also, let me make sure I post this. And where is it at? I don't see it. There we go. Make sure you follow us on IMTN Worldwide Radio and also on – actually, that's the wrong page right there. I need to change that. So let's change this back. There we go. Subscribe to the YouTube page for IMTN Worldwide Radio. We also have a very, very special guest Friday. So you want to be on that show. Because we have Jerome Jurinovich on that show. You know, last year he retired, and he hasn't been in the mix for since then till now. So you know he has a huge perspective on what's going on with all of our sports teams, and he was able to see the beginnings of the Braves going into a championship year and all kind of other things. So we're going to talk about that, his career overall, things he might be, you know, things he's doing now. So it's going to be a very interesting discussion, so make sure you tune into that as well. So we got three shows this week, very excited. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube page for IMTN Worldwide Radio. All the other shows will be on there, and we'll go from there. So here is Jordan. We are back. So, again, make sure you call into the show, 646-652-4479. So you use a good word, Jordan, debacle. And so let me see if I can make sure I get my heart rate good. Let me make sure we don't have any callers yet. Okay, we don't have any callers. So what to say? I don't know. You know, we're at a crossroads, really, to where, and I've been saying it online. I did a real long video. I'm going to edit it and put it on the YouTube channel eventually in regards to who's responsible. We can get into accountability. We've been talking about that. You lay it on all on the line. Everybody is complicit in this right now, but we have no business being here. All of this was fixable, and for whatever reason, it just didn't seem necessary to fix it. And instead, we have to look at all these other franchises, fix issues, and then put it together. And it's like, why are we still not able to do that decade after decade after decade, even though we've had some great talent come through this organization? And the worry is we're going to waste another year of Trae Young. And that's the scary thing about this whole situation, is that you just had a player do something only one other player in NBA history has done, and it's basically being wiped away from this playoff performance that we've had so far. And I'll throw one more thing in. If let's just go to the brunt of it. If the Miami Heat has a plan to stop our best player, how come we don't have a plan to stop their best player? And I'm gonna just roll these off. Now I wasn't able to prepare like I wanted to. I'll just self admit that. But I will take something that I've been talking about a lot. First quarter of that 45-point game, somebody had 9 points. The second quarter, he had 12 points. The third quarter, he had 15 points, and in the last quarter, he had 9 points and 12 free throw attempts in between all that. Is it acceptable for one person to continue to destroy your team when no one else really is a threat on the opposite side? And how, and at a certain point, where does it click to say, yes, we have to stop that person? Because right now, that's where we are. And is this so disappointing to be at this position with all the talent we do have on this team? So I just wanted to throw that out there initially, and I'll go ahead and put up the first little marker for us tonight, and I'm going to let Jordan move forward. What is the biggest issue with the Hawks team, Jordan?
Biggest issue? I mean, it's really close. Coaching is definitely a candidate for sure. You know, and I have some people defending our coach for some reason after last night. But I'm sorry, I just don't see how in the world you could allow a team to go on a 15-0 run and you do not call a timeout. In fact, the first timeout was called when John Collins hit a three to break the 15-0 run. Eric Spoelstra of Miami called time. And that was the first stoppage. Now, there was another stoppage in between there when I can't recall if it was Miami or us that were shooting free throws. And the only change that was made during that 15-0 run was to bring Kevin Herter back into the game. Kevin Herter was 0-5 from the field at that point. So I'm not understanding how bringing him back was supposed to stop the bleed. You know, people say, well, if the play stopped when people got fouled, yeah, it did, but that's not the same. It's called a timeout, gathering all five of the guys over there that's on the court, grabbing that board up, going over some strategy, and also just calming them down. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, you can't do that from the sideline while they're at the free throw line like you can when they come over to the bench. But if I had to say what the absolute biggest issue is, I would say it's the lack of having another star player that teams have to get game plan for. The lack of having a star player that you can give the ball to and he can get a bucket outside of trouble. Whether that's somebody who, you know, can take the ball all the way to the rack from a dribbling standpoint, or whether, you know, it's a big man who you can just dump the ball to in the post and he has moves and he can go to work. Now, I'm not talking about somebody you got to throw a lob to. I'm not talking about somebody you got to set a screen for in that situation. You can just throw the ball on the block and he can get buckets and he can command a double team and free up other players. I think that's the biggest issue. When you look at these NBA championship teams, you know, it's hard-pressed to find a few of them that don't have two players like that on them. And it's even harder to find any team that's won more than one championship without at least two players like that. So that's going to be my answer for what the absolute biggest issue is, Chris. But I had to throw that coaching point.
I understand. And to your point, well, to kind of actually segue a little bit, Miami actually doesn't have that. They're destroying us, though. You see what I'm saying? And that's where coaching comes back into it, because Coach Spoelstra does what he does with whoever's on that roster, right? It's been a while since certain super team has been in Miami, right? And they still keep winning games. They've been to the finals, right? And that finals team, I would say, is probably lesser than this team that they have right now, truth be told, right? So yeah, it's a matter of, again, and I'm going to put this down here, why does it seem that our coaching staff, everybody, can't adjust? Somebody posted on Twitter earlier in regards to the third quarter and how many third quarters we keep getting beat in. And it's like at a certain point over years, what happens after halftime? It does matter. Just like in the NFL, you're coming out of halftime, you got two more quarters to fix whatever it was that's getting you beat. And you can't keep putting the same stuff out there without saying, okay, well, this wasn't working. What makes me think it's going to work now with no adjustments whatsoever, right? And that was my thing about, you sure you can't double Jimmy Butler so he don't get 45? He has 30 points now. Are we going to let him really score 15 more points? Nobody else is doing anything. What's the problem here? You see what I'm saying? You sure that you can't make it important enough for everybody to be reminded, hey, we need to block out. Hey, we need to get back on defense. Hey, we need to avoid this screen. We need to stay with your man if they try to screen you on this person. Because, see, that's something that can be told and taught. And so, again, it always goes back to, are they being told? And if they are, are the players listening? Because it has to be one of the two or both possibly. And that's scary because why? This is years in the making here. And I think everybody remembers the whole quote from, you know, coach saying, well, development is over. But I'm watching all these playoff games and all I hear is the word, how this coach here developed this person to do this and how this coach here developed this person to do that. And I'm like, why is it acceptable for all of them to develop but not us? I also had, I posted this clip where you had the New Orleans game and Reggie Miller talking about all the rooks. New Orleans is tied. I don't care if Devin Booker ain't in there. Devin Booker wasn't playing a lot of games this year and they still won 60 doggone games. That's the best team in the West. They were in the finals last year. But the Pelicans, from 1-12 to on the verge, possibly, of knocking out the number one seed. That's all coaching. And then, guess what? The players wanting to do it. The players wanting to listen to what the coach is telling them and being self-accountable and self-aware and self-disciplined enough to say, this matters. Us playing this high level of defense, again, I always say, you got to have pride to play defense. You got to take that upon yourself to say, I'm not going to let that person stop me. I might foul out, but he ain't going to score on me, though. You see what I'm saying? At a certain point, where is that? And we don't have a specialist on the bench to say, that's our defensive coach. This is this coach. That's that coach. Who's a specialist on there? Because, again, we still don't have an offense either, right? Right. We can get into that a whole bunch, right? Because otherwise, we have a player. We got the best point guard in the league who should be getting 18 assists a night, and we're hampered because we just are going to stay at that three-point line. We're going to stand there. We all got our designated spots. It's the most ridiculous thing. And Coach Spo knows it. So what do you think he's going to do? He's going to play us into that. And so, again, it's just so frustrating to say, why can't it be done? Because at this point now, we're down 3-1 officially now. Can this situation be fixed? Can it be fixed now, and will it be fixed after the fact whenever we do get eliminated? Because, again, I still think somehow another miracle is going to happen. We're going to pull out this game somehow. I don't know how, but we're going to do it. But after the fact, can it be fixed? Or do they want to fix it? I don't know. What do you think, Jordan?
One thing I think is you a more optimistic man than me.
Come on, man.
I got on black right now, but tomorrow it'll be all solid black. Because I'm attending the funeral tomorrow, the funeral of all Atlanta Hawks team. Because I just don't see it. I mean, the one game we won, you know, it took Trey's heroics at the end, you know, to win that game. Because we had a lead and allowed a 21-0 run in that game. You know what I mean? Now, granted, Nate did call timeout in that game, but there again, he called timeout and just left the same five dudes on the floor. You know, no massive substitution or anything of that nature. So, yeah, I just don't see it. Chris, the team has been inconsistent all year. And, you know, for a variety of reasons, we just haven't played up to the team, you know, that we were expected to be. Now, you do make a solid point that Miami only has, like, one true go-to scorer on their team, but they also do have, for one thing, and even I can't stand him, but, you know, Pudgy Lowry, that is a championship-winning vet that's been a multiple-time All-Star in this league. And even though Bam hasn't played that well in this series, he is an All-Star player as well, mainly for his defense, you know what I mean, which he has played well on the defense team. And so I do think some of it with us is personnel, but as you stated, you know, a lot of it is coaching also. I think it doesn't have to be an either-or thing. I think both things can be true, and I do believe that's the case, you know, with our Atlanta Hawks this year. But, you know, a lot of people are, you know, upset at Trey. And like I said on Twitter, I'm not going to blame Trey one bit, man, because this coach we're going up against, Eric Spoelstra, he's a coaching genius when it comes to the NBA circles. And the fact of the matter is, we've seen it happen to Kobe. We've seen it happen to Dominique. We've seen it happen to Michael Jordan before he got Scottie Pippen, those guys in there. Saw it happen to LeBron, his first stint in Cleveland against San Antonio when they got swept. We saw it happen to Allen Iverson. We've seen it happen to a lot of NBA players. One of the best players in the history of this game. It's tough to beat a good defensive team, you know, by yourself, and it's tough to beat a team with more firepower than you have by itself, one or the other. But in order for us to have a chance to beat this team, which I thought we did, you know, there are a couple things that have to happen. Number one, you cannot be an ace team, but yet the number one seed is beating you to all the little balls, all the hustle plays. It's getting offensive rebound after offensive rebound when they miss shots. You know what I mean? You're not going to beat a higher seed team when those type plays.
You're not doing the basics.
Right. And two, you're not going to free up your star, Trae Young, you know, when, and no disrespect to anybody, but the term that's been going around, you know, for a couple of years now is white boy summer. You know what I mean? But when white boy summer is shooting a combined 28.1% three-point range for a series, that's not going to free Trae up. Okay? Now DeAndre Hunter, 12 is what I like to call him, he shot the ball better as a whole. Well, even when you look at his numbers, because he's shooting in the 43% range from three, if I'm not mistaken. But if you look at his numbers, 6 out of 8 came in 2 games when he was hot. The other 2 games, he was combined 3 of 11 from three. So, you know, you got on or off thing. You got Bogey with 2 games that he made 0 threes in.
Yeah.
You got Gallo with 2 games that he made 0 threes in. And he's shooting 16.9% from three for the series. You got Kevin Herter, who is shooting 26.7% from three for the series. That is not going to free your superstar up. And there's no reason for Miami to change the way that they're playing Trae Young if the floor spaces around him aren't making shots. And I'm going to tell you what they're doing to Trae. And, you know, it's genius, honestly, that it's supposed to thought to do this. But what they're doing is they're walling up the paint for Trae like a team would do playing against Giannis. But the difference in what they're doing, when Trae gets into the dribble move, they're also sending the double team at him on top of that. So what they're doing is they're not allowing him, they're making it very hard for him to get into the guys who roll into the basket, whether that be John Collins, Clint, or Conley. And they're saying, look, these shooters just going to have to beat me. And so far, we have only had one player have a good shooting game each of the 4 games. The other three haven't shot well, and that's the biggest problem as far as why, you know, we can't get anything done against the TP.
Well, 646-652-4479 is the number, of course, folks. Jordan, I'm glad that you put the numbers out there because I did not get a chance to do anything numbers-wise, so I knew I could rely on you to be able to pull those up to give people the essence of this, the details. But that goes into the post right there. Why aren't our players more consistent? Because this was the time, this was the ultimate time where we couldn't really have the one good game, one bad game, one good game part of this season where it basically led up to 39 losses and having to play 2 games to even get in the playoffs. Because, again, if it wasn't for the new format, we would have been eliminated, period, right? So why can't we at this by this point have it to where all the players are taking it personal? To say we have to help our best player on the floor, which is Trae. Injuries happen. COVID happened with everybody. But we keep looking at all these other series, and we're looking at all these players doing amazing things, or actually they're just playing their game. And they're doing it every night. You feel me? You heard that? So now it's a matter of we got the team that could we could lay waste to everybody in the Eastern Conference if we all played. Because if our team all played together like they can, you have to try to stop 5 or 6 people every night. That's hard to do. I don't care how good your defensive team is. Right now, they only have to stop Trae. They don't have to worry. They don't care about anybody else on our team. That's what they're basically saying. We don't care about nobody on your team except Trae Young. And if y'all prove that y'all can do something, cool, we can live with that result because we're still going to play hard. Notice why I just said that. There, right? They play hard all the time. No question. We don't do that for some reason. And again, it's a matter of if you have your players who, for whatever reason, cumulatively or in spots, aren't helping the team, they can't be on that floor because they're not helping. So what's the alternative? Eventually, you got to pull them, but guess what? We're so ingrained in our ways. This is the bunch. That's the rotation. No matter what. Even though we got all these other guys over here, We can't even see Scholar Mays get on the floor to do something. And we know he can play some ball, right? But again, I go back to that Reggie Miller part. Look at these rooks just taking it, just doing their thing over here. And we see rooks all season long with all these other teams excelling. Whether it be a top five team or one of the bottom feeder teams, all the rooks in the league have played and contributed to their teams. And we made a conscientious decision to say, nope, y'all can't play. Period. And it's baffling, and we won't ever know what they could have contributed. But the one thing that Nate keeps talking about is energy, hustle, passion. Don't you think 19-year-old wants to be on the floor all the time, is going to play hard? Jalen and Cooper couldn't have made this team any worse than it already is. They couldn't have contributed 39 losses, even more so than what we already did. We got five DMPs every night. Lou don't play no more, right? What's the worst that could have happened for JJ getting some time, especially for the fact that Clint had went down? You sure you can't put him in there?
You had some games you had no Gallo and no John Collins. And you still didn't.
You still couldn't put him in there.
He got 24 minutes. He gave 11 points and 7 rebounds. We had only seen him since.
No, no, no. That was my point. And so it's a matter of, so what counts at this point? Because are we trying to win or not? Because the whole point is, especially when you get to the playoffs, is this is it. There is no coming back from this type of a deal. You've got to do it. You see what I'm saying? And again, we almost, if it wasn't for Trae Young, we would have gotten swept. Okay? And that's crazy. Because of what was allowed to happen in that particular game, game three, to where we were able to pull that out, you know, from the depths. Because we were getting beat. That game was over. That game was over. You see what I'm saying? And so, but whatever happened, all of a sudden something did snap. But see, that snap has to come every night because that's what everybody else is doing. And we just look so far. Again, the regression is just palatable, and I don't know if it can be fixed. But for me, it's just a matter of one more night, we need to see the snap happen. You know, wherever Thanos is, come on, Thanos, help us out. Because I still feel that we can maybe get back to Atlanta at least and maybe get fortunate and we have some consistent games. Because, again, Gallo doesn't play defense, unfortunately. And if he doesn't hit shots, he's inconsequential to the team as well, right? John is doing everything he can to be in these games. Everything. Everything. But he can only do but so much. Clint, he basically hit a wall, you know, and you couldn't but expect it but him to be able to play but so much. But it is what it is right now. So you got to have it to where your other guys, whether it be Hunter, Hunter did his job, you know, but if he had just been doing that the whole series, this is a completely different conversation, really, right? Same thing with Kevin. And also Bogey. You mentioned Bogey's three-point numbers is a matter of, guess what? That three-point shot ain't going in. Again, I hearken back to my basketball videos, which I started playing basketball again. You can't be the person to shoot your team out the game. You can't be that selfish. And if you are that selfish, the coach is complicit if he lets you in the game. He's complicit. He's letting it happen because he's the only one who can control that. You know what I'm saying? So, again, I don't know what can be fixed at this point because this is what's learned. This is what we got. We don't have a system that can all of a sudden be intertwined and ingrained into what we're doing right now. But I know next year we can't go forward like this anymore. Otherwise, we're just going to be wasting one of the best players that the league has ever seen, and eventually he's going to want out because he wants to win. I said it from the beginning. Trae Young should have made the playoffs his first two seasons. We had enough. I don't care what anybody says. We had just enough plus Trae to where we could have been competitive, more competitive than we were. The third season, we made the playoffs and got to the Eastern Conference Finals. But here we are a year later, and we're about to get knocked out, and it's looking bad. And so for me, it's a matter of I don't want that to be happening to us, but that's the reality right now.
Right, and I'm telling you, I mean, it's just like I said, I'm going to hark back to just doing the little things, the hustle plays, boxing out and grabbing boards, and looking at some more numbers, for example. Aside from Clint, who grabbed 7 rebounds in 21 minutes, nobody on the team is even averaging 6 series. Carmel was at 5.5. JC is at 5.3. Gallo is at 5.3. Bodie at 4.8. Trey at 4.3. DeLon at 4.3. I mean, you know, nobody. You know what I mean? Really? Dominating the boards at all. And obviously, you know, John is just not himself. Obviously, in a series where Clint hasn't played this much, he'd be averaging 10 a game. In fact, he did have one game where he grabbed 10, but he'd be getting 10 a game if he were healthy. But I really think that he re-aggravated something in game three when he missed that long because he only had one board last night. He did knock down, you know, knock down a three or two, but he just isn't the same, man. And I give him all the credit in the world for going out there and trying to do what he could do, especially with Clint being out, you know what I mean? We would have been in trouble because we would have probably been seeing TLC for 30 minutes a game if he didn't play, you know what I mean? But it's just that the thing is unfortunate because I really want to see him improve upon his first postseason last year. A lot of people want to throw a player away because he didn't have a great postseason in his first attempt. But we've seen many, many great players, you know what I mean?
Colders.
Right. Not have good first postseason runs. So I really wanted him to get the opportunity to improve on that. But unfortunately, you know, this finger and his foot just won't allow that. But as far as DeAndre Hunter goes, man, he's one of the ones I've been most disappointed with. To me, he just does not give us enough. To be a guy who's as big and as strong as he is, you know, to only have eight rebounds total in four games, it's just not enough. And I saw people say, well, he's a primary defender, so he's not going to get that many rebounds. And that's true. That's a fair point. And I look at, you know, you talked about the New Orleans rookies. I look at Herb Jones, for example, who's a rookie. He was the 35th pick in the draft, okay? I'm not even sure if Jose Alvarado was drafted. He may have been undrafted signing, you know what I mean? If not a second-round pick, I think he was undrafted. And he's out there scrapping and playing defense. But the difference between what Herb is doing and what Hunter's doing, okay, Hunter only has 8 rebounds for the series. Herb Jones only has 9 in his series. But Herb Jones also has 7 assists, 5 steals, and 3 blocks in their series. I'm talking total numbers now, not per game, total numbers. DeAndre Hunter, he has the 8 rebounds that I mentioned. He has 1 assist in the series in 4 games, 1 steal in the series in 4 games, 1 block in the series in 4 games. That is .035 per game, sir. And to me, that's just not adding enough value outside of just shooting the ball and playing decent one-on-one defense. And he has been decent in one-on-one situations. He stopped at the end of game three against Jimmy Butler was key. I mean, he played great defense on that last position. But when I go back to the position before, he wasn't the primary defender. He got caught in no man's land and held defense and gave up a wide open three to give Miami the lead. And so to me, you know, he's not adding enough as an off-ball defender. He's not a playmaker on defense where he's getting in the passing lanes and creating turnovers. He's going down and throwing it down the end. He's not creating anything for you as far as assist-wise, you know, 7 turnovers, 1 assist for the whole series. And he really can't beat anybody consistently off the dribble either. I mean, he's really pretty much depending on Trey and others to get him the ball just to shoot his jump shot. So I've been quite disappointed, you know, with him, especially being a guy who was a top 5 pick in the draft, and a guy that we actually traded assets for.
646-642-4479. Reggie on Twitter mentions it can change if we have a new coach and new GM. It's kind of hard to maybe say that a change wouldn't happen if you did get a new coach in the new philosophy. You know, I've been using that word for a long time. We don't have a philosophy. We don't have an identity on offense or defense. So if you change, you'd have to change all the way, though, because, you know, can you really change that with just a coach? Probably, but can that be in sync with whoever the GM is? But that's on wrestler to make that decision, obviously, or whatnot. I do want to mention one thing about Hunter, because you mentioned it, on that round away defense of leaving someone wide open. That's been happening all season. It's happened a lot over the last 4 seasons because, again, defense wasn't something that this team was taught. All of our young players, they're all playing the same way. Okay, the difference from last year was they played with ultimate effort every game. and that effort masked a lot of their deficiencies. But let me mention something on that third quarter from last night. And this kind of goes back into what I was saying in the game we got blown, the game that Jimmy Butler had 45, okay? Last night, Jimmy Butler played 10 minutes in the third quarter. He had 13 points. He was 5-for-6 from the field, 3-for-3 from the free throw line. He also had 2 boards, an assist, and 2 steals, and a block in that third quarter. They scored 30 points in that third quarter. We scored 15 points as a team. You want to know why? Because Hunter played 7 minutes, didn't score. Collins played 4 minutes, had 3 points. He was 1-for-2. Played 5 minutes, didn't score. Kevin played 8 minutes, scored 1 point. Trey, he was 0-for-3, 0-for-2 from 3. He didn't score. Bogey, he played 7 minutes, didn't score. DeLon played 7 minutes. Now, he had 6 points. Gallo played 5 minutes, had 5 points. And that was it. That was your 15 points right there. That was your ball game right there because Jimmy Butler scored 13 points. Jimmy Butler was 5-for-6 from the field, and nobody could stop him, basically. And you lose the game. All your momentum, everything is gone at that point. So, again, it's a matter of it's kind of obvious who the best player on the other team is, and you basically make a decision that, okay, well, we're just going to hope that this person just stops them eventually. But at a certain point, you got to say, hey, this is not happening. We have to do something different, and we never do anything different, and we always play into the hands of whoever the other coach is. But the players start seeing that, too, on the other side. Everybody who's played basketball and you're talking trash and all this kind of stuff, when somebody's missing shots, oh, he missed that. It's long. It's off. Yeah. Right? You know how that go, right? So that's what these players are doing with ours because they basically saying they're not going to do anything different. So we already know, right? And that's what's so disappointing about it because it's the reputation that's being built right now. It's going to leave a bad taste in our mouths if we lose this next game. That's why I say I'm hoping that we can somehow on the road be able to beat this team because that's another thing that we haven't really been doing the last month and a half is winning on the road. We won at home. We can't win a game at home. Looks like we have a caller. Let's go ahead and bring him in real quick. Good evening, caller. Go ahead and tell us your name and where you're calling from. Caller, you're live. You still, caller, you are on the line.
Okay. Hey, how you doing?
How you doing, sir? What's your name?
Hey, how's it going, man?
I'm pretty good. This is Reggie. Reggie calling from Columbus, Georgia.
Hey, what's up, Reggie? What's going on?
What's going on, Reggie?
Nothing much, man. Now, how you guys doing tonight?
Man, we are trying to figure out how we're going to get through the game tomorrow.
Disappointed, my brother. Disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, it's the situation. Like you say, can the situation be fixed? I agree with everything you're saying. It's just at a point now. If it's not working, you have to go with something else. And I think Nate has guys on the bench with fresh legs that for some reason he refuses to play them. And I don't think he's doing the team a favor as well as the GM because after last year, let's face it, they were a blown layup away from being beat by Philadelphia. And so, you know, the GM did not bring in adequate reserves for Trae Young or Clint Capella. And I mean, somebody that can come in, and now you got Lou Williams on the bench, and I'm saying, is he injured or is he hurt? If he's hurt, he can play. If he's injured, I understand him not being dressed. But they need his ball handling to help Trae get the ball up the court because they're throwing Butler and Tucker at Trae every time he gets the ball.
Yeah.
And he has nobody to get the ball to. Nobody's coming to get the ball. Nobody's helping him bring it up the ball. Bogey and Gallo are just purely unathletic enough. If they're not shooting and hitting their point, they're worthless. And it's just a mess. There has to be some serious changes made next year. So that's just my 10 cents.
Well, one thing I will add to that, Reggie, was that's what, at least on my end, I was excited about Wright signing. Because what I thought was happening is somebody who was averaging 10-5 and playing defense for the last 3 years was going to come on this team to be somebody's secondary who's probably going to be getting a lot of minutes and come in and play defense and actually can score and actually can get the ball around us some people every now in the blue moon. And that's not what we got for basically the whole season until the last month or so. Because for the last 5 months, we got 3 points and 2 assists barely from Mr. Wright at $8 million a year. And that just wasn't working. That just didn't work. As far as the backup center part, well, that's a whole other story right there. Again, we had all kind of options, and for whatever reason, none of them were good enough. They all went to other teams. And at the end of the day, ours don't play ever. So, you know, that's really kind of messed up too. So, yeah, it's disappointing because, like you said, if certain people ain't hitting shots, they're not contributing. And that's an issue. Like, that's scary. Like, you mean to tell me you can't block out or you can't run real fast to get down to the other end of the court or you can't make your rotations more crisper to make sure that person doesn't have a wide open freaking three? Just because you're not hitting shots, you're going to penalize the rest of the team? It's angering to me when you think about it just on that aspect because, again, all of us who play basketball, we know we ain't getting picked up in that game, but we ain't hustling. Right?
Yep.
We ain't coming out there just to get exercise. There's a scoreboard and there's a clock. At that point, there's competition. And we play hard. We ain't getting paid. These guys are getting paid a lot of money. And you got fans spending, I don't know how much those floor seats were. I don't know. But all of them, a lot of people are saying they need a refund. You see what I'm saying? And
yep.
My thing with Gallo is, like you say, not only is he not contributing a lot, he's not making shots, but they're actually hunting him. They're looking to try to get him in switches and attack him, and he just hadn't done enough offensively to make up for that. I mean, 17% from three, that's just terrible. Now, I will give him that last game, and I guess in the second quarter, he did go on a stretch where he grabbed a few rebounds in a row and hit a couple baskets. And all of a sudden, they took it right out at that moment. And, you know, he never came back in doing anything after that. The one thing I'll say about DeLon Wright, and you're right, you know, we didn't get the DeLon Wright we were expected to get at the beginning of the season. But now that he's turned it up, I like DeLon. My thing with DeLon, I just like him better as a backup shooting guard, being a deep player that defends and, you know, can knock down a three here and there. He's done a good job in this series of grabbing a couple offensive rebounds and putting it back. He gets a few steals, but he's still not that guy you want running the second unit because he really doesn't have the ability to penetrate and break down the defense. In fact, I saw a buster, I'm going to call him out of lane, get on Twitter and say that a lot of these Hawks fans are so stupid. He specifically called Miss D out. Shout out to Miss D. Love you, Miss D. But he said Miss D had her minions saying that Sharif should be playing over DeLon. No, that's not what we said at all. What we said was Sharif should have been given the opportunity to run the second unit with DeLon playing shooting guard and Kevin Herter playing backup small forward. That was after Cam had just gotten traded, and at the time, Bogey was still starting next to DeAndre Hunter on the wing.
We'd be killing people if that happened. I feel we deserve to at least see if it worked. And shout out to Reggie. It looks like his call dropped. Reggie from Columbus. Appreciate your call in. But I felt that we should have at least gotten a chance to see it happen because we know, first of all, Cooper is somebody only other than Trae Young to be able to say points and assists. I did that. The only other player is Trae Young as far as that goes. Two. We know he can drive to the basket to get his own shot. We know he can hit a shot. We also know he loves to pass the ball. Those are things that Trae can do. So why couldn't he be out there to do that for our team?
17 points and 7 assists in the G League games this year as well, so it's not like he wasn't creating down there as well. Go ahead, sir, my bad.
Yeah, no. That's the point. It's like with minutes, even if his minutes are half because he was a starter down there, half of his production was better than what we were getting here. Same thing with Jalen. Jalen is getting 18 and 11. If he was just getting us 9 and 5, that's better than what we were getting from 5 DMPs every night. What's the problem? And again, we never, Think about it. What if they have been playing from January till now, how good they would be? How ingrained into being on the NBA floor, the energy, the quickness, all this kind of good stuff, instead of, okay, we're just averaging 2.5 minutes a night. What do you expect? You see what I'm saying? Because that's just anybody. You can't do a lot with 2 minutes a game. You can't get no feel of a – this is NBA. This ain't college. This ain't rec league. This is the NB doggone A. And they were just disallowed from being part of this team. And then the principle of, okay, well, now you signed Scholar, but you weren't playing him at all either. And now you're not playing him now. That's the reason you signed him. What's going on? Like, what is going on? I just want to know. Because, again, we're about to get eliminated from the playoffs. So there got to be an answer to this at a certain point. But like Reggie said, it might have to be drastic and just say we're going to start all over, possibly. I don't mean start all over virtually, but maybe. I don't know. Because, again, we can't ever have a season like this. It wasn't supposed to be like this, but it was like this. So what you have to do to make sure that this hasn't happened again has to be pretty drastic. Some big, like you said, Hunter was drafted number 5, and we gave up stuff for him, right? And again, Cam ain't here no more. You know, it is what it is. But you have Kevin. You have all these other players. Now, I believe Gallo and Bogey's, this is their last year in their contracts, correct? Am I right on that?
Gallo, yes. Bogey. Well, actually, Gallo has another year, but it's only guaranteed for $5 million. So they could technically waive Gallo and save $15 million. So I do think this is probably his last year here. Bogey still has time to make.
Okay.
Well, Bogey still has, I want to say, 2 more years after this season.
Oh, so, okay, it was an extension. Okay, because at the time... Okay, so that was an extension. So I still say Bogey is definitely valuable because at the end of the day, he's one of the best shooters in the league, period, one way or the other. But we have to have enough to offset the deficiencies. And what will we do as a franchise to fix this? Because it has to be a drastic fix, and it has to be immediate because Boston ain't going nowhere, right? Philadelphia, eh. But, you know, and then you got Toronto and some of these other teams or whatever. You got the Bulls. But the Hawks can beat all these teams, and they proved that they can beat all these teams. But they all have to play basically at exceptional rates, and we should expect it. And for some reason, it's like we're not supposed to, and that's a problem for me because I see all these other teams. And it's not that I'm jealous of these other teams, but I'm watching basketball just on the sake of watching the games that they're on. But I'm looking at their intensity. I'm looking at them diving for the loose balls. I'm looking at them, how crisp those double teams are on Chris Paul or whoever it is, right? And I'm seeing that these players are saying, I don't care who the other team is. We're going to play to the best of our ability. And if that team still beats us, so be it. I've said it again. I'm going to say it again live on the radio. The Hawks could go 0-82 every season. But if they lost because they played hard for 48 minutes, and they played to their best of their ability and still got beat, I can accept that. What I can't accept is it obvious it don't look like it matters on the floor because the results are showing you that. There is no hypeness to say, I'm determined to make sure that this person doesn't score. I'm determined not to make mistakes anymore. You can control turnovers. You can. You can think for that split second more, take a deep breath and be like, I should make this pass. I'm not going to do it, you know. There has to be something, and again, that goes into coaching again and training and being diligent to say, if you can't get this, I'm not putting you on the floor for 30 minutes, sir. Come here.
Right?
You got to be able to do that, and that's the job of the coach, because otherwise, what is he doing?
You almost gave me some shell shock flashbacks that come here because I've had that happen on the court before.
I'm trying to tell you, man. I look, think about it. On a court where you're not getting paid, right, and there is no coach or anything, sometimes a team will say, you know what, man, hey, you want to play? Because this guy right here, he ain't handling it. That's the most – you might as well just go home after that because you're never getting picked the rest of that night. You see what I'm saying? And that's what's not happening with our team. Again, people keep yelling out accountability of the players and nobody holds the players accountable. I've done nothing but that. I've said, Trey, you can't have 10 turnovers, sir. Trey, that one logo three, that wasn't necessary at that particular time, sir, right? And then all the other stuff, whether it be Gallo shooting the team out sometimes during the regular season, he's been known to do it. Bogey's done it before, and the coaches let him do it. You can't just physically hurt your team, and you have that specialization. Like, for instance, Steve Kerr didn't hurt his team. He knew his job was to hit threes, but you know what he also did? He moved his arms around, and he moved his feet, and he got himself around to make sure that he at least was in front of his man all the time. He never left his man on defense. I've seen so many times Mr. Kevin just floating around on the floor. His man is way over here on Decatur somewhere, as Bob likes to say sometimes, you know, shots from Decatur or whatever. But Kevin's man is nowhere near where he is. And I'm like, Kevin, who are you? Why aren't the refs calling defensive, what is it, 5-second defensive, 5-second call or whatever? We should break the record on that. Literally every game. I don't know why maybe the rule is not there anymore. But we don't ever stay with our man. And it's crazy to me because it's like, why do you think teams shoot 10% more on three-point percentage than any other team? It's because of that. You won't stay on your man. And besides over-helping, of course, who are you guarding? That's empty space. That man is way on the other side. He's not nowhere near you. Your man is over here 15 feet away from you. That ball is about to swing around, and you're going to have a wide-open three. And that happened all year. We have 39 losses to prove it. You see what I'm saying? So, again, I'm just baffled. I'm just worried here because we just want to see our team play hard. It's competition. Whether or not they win or lose, that's part of the game. We just don't want to see the team give up. That's what it looks like. You know, when you're not playing hard and it don't look like it matters, that's the only thing that we can deduce and surmise from it is that you don't care. And we just want the care part to come in there because we are fans. We're taking time out from work sometimes to watch the game. We're driving 3 hours. There was people, I know Mr. Jamal from the Originator brand, make sure you get your next to the shirts. I'm going to show it again. My 5-year New Pack City shirt right there, 5-year anniversary. And I got my Braves shirt too. Make sure only reason I don't have them on because I forgot to check my mailbox today. So right before the show, I got these in the mail from the Originator brands real quick.
Nice. Cool.
Got to get me a hat now. But Jamal drove all the way from Macon, Georgia. Whole family, Trey's replacement and his son. 15 years from now, I got to throw that in there, right? But they all had to watch that in person. That had to hurt. You see what I'm saying? So it's just the principle of it all. We want to see the team play to its utmost ability all the time because all these other teams we get to see do that all the time. And or they have enough other players on the team to negate that part because you do have, okay, KD and Kyrie on the same team, right? Something like that, which they got swept today, by the way. At least we didn't get swept. I guess we could say that, right? Woo, you know. But we have a variance of players to where if they all play to their hilt and the coaching matches up, we could beat anybody in the league. We beat the Suns, didn't we? We beat the Bucks. We beat the Bulls. We beat all these teams. But then you give up 20 offensive rebounds to the Toronto Raptors. How? I still remember that game. That was an anger game for me to have to watch that happen. So I don't know, Jordan. I don't know what's going to happen. Our next game is tomorrow night, correct?
Yes.
I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I know you say you don't think we're going to have a chance in the world. I still think that somehow, some way, it might come down to a one-second type of a deal, but, you know, we do have Trae Young on our team. But the way they're playing him, we got to have 2-3 other people really step up, and I don't know if that's possible right now.
I can think of, serious, you know that song, Gangsta Lean, which is thing for your dead homies? Because I believe that's going to be the end of our season tomorrow, man. And, you know, I hate it, but I just haven't seen anything. I haven't seen much to make me think otherwise. And even if they do somehow pull this one off, you know, I don't really have, you know, really much hope that they can turn around and beat this team three times in a row. with the way things are going so far. You know, I think somebody summed it up on Twitter best, and I was looking, trying to look for the tweet that I retweeted earlier so I could see, because I retweeted so much today, I couldn't find it. I wanted to give that person credit. But what they did, it was a clip of, you know, how disoriented we look on offense for the sequence of that game last night, and it basically said, no steps, no strategy.
She's fine.
I mean, that's really what happened. And you know, and you saw us actually attempt to play Trey off the ball some. And number one, we really don't have the facilitator to do it. But had we been running Trey off strings all year, DeLon Wright handled it enough to be able to hit Trey coming off the screen. He didn't really break nobody down. But he could hit Trey coming off the screen. But when you haven't done something all year long,
it's hard to do it all of a sudden.
Right. You've been playing and attacking the same way all year. It's hard to all of a sudden switch that up in the middle of a playoff series against a great defense team and be successful at it. And so, you know.
Just vibes. Again, it's the reason I laughed, the reason I had the chuckle is because I've been saying that for 4 years. No philosophy on offense and defense. We're just out there. That's what I've been saying. We are just out there, and that's not enough in the playoffs. In the regular season, you can kind of get away with it because you have 82 games. You have 82 games. But guess what? We really didn't make it this year, if not for the format. We lost 39 times, and don't say injuries, and don't dare say COVID. I know our COVID was a little bit more specialer, that's a new word, than others. But it doesn't excuse the play on the court. It doesn't excuse not having a plan. That, again, no strategy. That's the word. Having an essence of an adjustment protocol of some sort to say, hey, just like remember in programming, you have an if-then statement. If this happens, this has to happen as a result, right? It's an if-then situation. And we don't have that. We're like in Wakanda. We don't do that here. It's not cool anymore. And again, we're in the playoffs. We're up against it. And to not be able to say, okay, this is what Miami has chosen to do to us, we have to do something. Or, okay, the third quarter has been real bummy for us. This third quarter is going to be different, though. But it never is. Again, I just read it off. How many points did Jimmy Butler have in the third quarter? 13. He was 5 for 6. So that means
it's
he
five,
was.
It's the 5 for 6 part for me. I mean,
you see what I'm saying?
Got to put a lot of points in the quarter, but you got to limit his efficiency somewhat. My goodness. But speaking, I mean, you just talk about accountability, Chris, and I agree. It's like, okay, why are we not setting good screens on offense? Are they not being told, or are they just? Have they just tuned the coach out? And if they have just tuned him out, why is nobody sitting down for not listening? And the same principle goes with some of the defensive principles. I want to know, for example, okay, if somebody does a DeAndre Hunter fan show me some clips, and he is right, not all of those Jimmy are being scored on DeAndre. There are a lot of switches, but what I want to know is the coach telling DeAndre to fight through these screens and only switch when you have to? Or is the coach just telling them go ahead and switch if you want to? Or is the coach not telling them anything? I mean, I don't know.
Now, I'm gonna do two things. One, that is something that you can coach. Because guess what? When I play basketball, we make a quick decision after we see who we're playing. Are we staying with our man or are we switching or not? And then sometimes within the game, I got you. Or we moving. That's all communication. It ain't happening with us, is it? And one of the screens. Now, one of my basketball videos over the years, I always talking about I take pride in setting screens because if I can set a screen and make my shooter wide open and he's hitting threes, guess what? I count that as a baseball assist as far as I'm concerned, right? And I'm talking about a screen where you're not getting around me, sir, and you don't know, it's like an RKO, it's out of nowhere. I'm eyeing you as the player and you're coming around and my guy's coming around. I'm going to give my guy the look and then I'm there. Boom. He comes around. He shoots his shot. Bingo. If he misses it, he misses it, but he had a wide open shot. We should be doing that 10, 15 times a night with the shooters that we have, and we don't do it. So are we not capable of doing it in our heads, or is that not being coached? Because that's something that we got enough guys on our team. Did you, again, Trey set a screen for themselves that last night. Trey set a screen, boom, peeled out. He got the ball, shot a three, and he hit it. I'm like, how come we're not doing that all the time? How come we're not doing it all the time? Was that just Trey doing that all of a sudden? Because we know it wasn't coming off the bench. That wasn't instructed there. But that was a natural action there, and it worked. I'm like, how come we can't do things that actually work? How come when we do things that work, why do we go away from it? That's painful to see that over the 82-game schedule where we had so many times where we had success and we do things one time and then we never see it again. So, again,
it's definitely a coaching issue because you don't have to be talented to set a screen, set a good screen. You don't have to be big to set a good screen. Shoot, John Stockton and those guys, Isaiah Thomas and those guys back in the day, they were some of the smallest guys on the court. They set good screen. So it just makes you wonder, you know, what's going on with the instruction. Radhika on Twitter says that she would trade Kevin Herter and Gallo, maybe even package with JC and someone else to find a dominant player who can also defend against the wing and shoot well when Trey is cold. If Trey is playing badly, we usually lose. And that's a great point.
Yeah.
Speaking of Kevin Herter, he's just another one of the players that, you know, I feel like I want to call him out specifically when we talk about holding guys accountable. To me, too often, he's just floating around, going through the motions. He's not really having a big impact on the game. He's not really shutting anyone down defensively. In fact, you see, if Jimmy Butler sees Herter switched on to him, or Bogey for that matter, you see his, he have a big old grin on his face. from the Cheeto bag. You know what I mean? He's happy. He's happy, and that shouldn't be the case. On top of that, he's just not adding enough. I mean, he's definitely got more than one assist for the series, but he's still not adding enough as far as he can't really break anybody down to make a play for anybody. He's shooting 27% for three, like I mentioned earlier. And the fact of the matter is, most of his are good looks. And the ones that aren't a good look is because he rushes a quick contested three early in the clock as opposed to moving the ball. So, you know, our wings have been just absolutely awful between 1200 and Cam Herter. They've probably been the worst set of wings in this entire playoff field of 16 teams, to be honest with you. And in today's NBA, it's so predicated on perimeter play and wing play, it's not going to work. So we're going to have to do something to upgrade, because one thing is for certain. You know, I was one of the biggest advocates for coming back with the same team. I may have been wrong for that, but I felt like they had gotten far enough last year, and enough of those young guys still had enough potential that that group deserved to get a whole year together with a few additions, like they picked up DeLon Wright. Boogie Jang addition didn't really work out well at all. But I felt like they deserved, for the most part, to come back intact. Well, we've seen it another year now, and in my opinion, some drastic changes have to be made.
Well,
it would be nice to be able to, for these guys to be able to develop into something, but some of these guys, Chris, they just don't have that. I mean, if they ain't got the ability to get their own shot by now, it ain't going to go from that to just
I don't know. I do believe that if we had the concentration on the coaching side and the personal development acumen, taking pride in I want to make all my players better mentality, I think we would be there. But
I think they'd be better, but I just don't think a lot of these guys are that level of talent. We were told that Kevin Herter was going to be our Klay Thompson. Not even close.
Yeah,
you know, we told the Twin Runner was the next Kawhi Leonard, but he's not as athletic as Kawhi Leonard. You know what I mean? And so I do still have hope that O can be an all-defensive type player one day. And Taylor Johnson, I don't know how to judge him one way or the other.
Two minutes a game.
Complete star in the making. I just have to see them play enough to be able to make it. Against NBA competition, to be able to make that determination.
Yeah.
And so we got enough players that I think we should package up some and get a bona fide number two in here if we can. But we should also have some of them left over that that we can still be playing. But when you got a head coach, you mentioned it earlier, Chris, that said that we're done developing, that's an alarming statement, sir. And I got to give a shout-out to my guy Ether. They call his name on Twitter is They Love by Ether. But he made a great point. The best franchises never stop developing. He, you know, and then two of them, the game was Golden State. I mean, look at it. They got this guy Jordan Poole coming out with a late pick, and he's set the league on fire. They're always coming up with guys from drafting lower than their position that are outstanding. And the other example, he gave San Antonio Spurs. And that's true. The San Antonio Spurs had a very good ball club when they had David Robinson and Sean Elliott and Manny Del Negro and Avery Johnson. They were in the playoffs every year, but they just could not get over the hump. David Robinson gets hurt one year. They hit the lottery and bring in Jeff Duncan. But even after that, they still found Tony Parker with a late first-round pick.
Yeah.
They still found Manu Ginobili with a second-round pick. They still brought in Kawhi Leonard, you know, with a later first-round pick. And so when you never stop developing and you draft well, then you're setting yourself up for long-term success. And personally, when it comes to Travis Schlenk, I haven't given up on him yet. For him to have the foresight to even take Trae Young or everybody else who's looking for Luka, you know what I mean, or Ayton or Bagley, you know what I mean, I give him credit for that. He found John Collins with the 19th pick. I give him credit for that. But he's got to take the next step, whether that be, you know, making trades or whether that be finding a guy, you know, that flat-out star pick lower, you know, than his draft status, that'd be great. Look, if we could turn around a trade, you know, Gallo for the 13th pick and get a Kobe Bryant, like what happened with Vlade Divac, that'd be great. We can keep everybody if we do something like that. But my thing is, regardless of whatever we got to do to bring in more health and a bona fide all-star level talent, we need to do that. Because if you look at the Eastern Conference field, Chris, the Hawks are the only team in the Eastern Conference that don't have at least two guys that have been to an all-star game. The only one.
Yeah, okay. Well, that definitely is easily seen. And I don't know. Again, the playoffs are where we at. We're about to wrap up, by the way. Everybody, thanks for everybody for watching and listening tonight. I don't know. I'll say this about Kevin real quick because I was thinking about it. Kevin actually is decent one-on-one, but team defense, he's just mystified. Reggie, because Reggie says Kevin is a good defender. I'm like, okay, one-on-one, he's all right. But when it comes to team defense, he don't need to be on the floor at that point because he gives up gaps. And Reggie also says Poole is drafted after Hunter. So, you know, it is what it is as far as Mr. Poole, but Hunter was gotten specifically for the role that he has, and it's a matter of now he has to task himself to be that person. He doesn't have to be the next Kawhi. He just needs to be the best Hunter he can be, and we'll be good. But that means being consistent, and that goes into personally saying, I'm going to get better every year, because that's how you become a Hall of Fame player. You make that choice to say, I'm going to always hit my shots, Steph Curry. I'm going to get all of these rebounds, right, like Gobert, right? I'm going to get all of these steals per game. I'm going to always be in the passer lane. I'm going to hit my free throws. Like, how many free throws did we miss? Okay, let me stop. So, again, it's a matter of I just want to see the best of this team, and if we don't have it, we need to get there, whether it be because we get a better coach. If that's the case, again, and I said this, I'm like, again, I like Nate. But if Nate didn't want to come back this year, he didn't have to sign a contract.
Yeah, I think, I just add real quick, I do think Nate's a great guy. Unlike our previous coach, I do think Nate's a great guy. But it just ain't working right now.
It's a responsibility. And, again, everybody's complicit on it. The players have to be self-responsible as well. They got to have discipline. They got to want to play hard. But if they're not doing it, the job is to win. The job is to win a championship. And we actually did make the playoffs. This wouldn't be a discussion if we had already been eliminated. But we did get in the playoffs. So now why can't we have an expectation that we can play like we in the playoffs? Right now it's like we're still in the regular season, basically. You know, and that's not cool when, goodness, like what are we doing? We So again, it's a matter of if changes have to be made, they need to be widespread and they need to be immediate. They can't be tiptoeing around it at this point because we do actually have Trey Young on the roster, right? He's here. We synced it, you see? And we have a team that said, we're not going to let that guy beat us. So who else wants to try to beat us? If the rest of y'all beat us, cool. We can live with that. Coach Spo will give us praise and everything, won't he? But instead, what we have to see is Denzel Washington praising Kyle Lowry for flopping and telling Trey he needs a haircut. That's what we have to deal with right now. That's not cool to me right now. I'm telling you. That's how I'm ending the show because I'm just infuriated with one of the best actors of all time. Basically,
no, I can't even fool with you.
I'm just saying, I can't watch Glory ever again. You know, he's just terrible, man. I can't support.
A lot real quick, Chris, though.
Go ahead, real quick.
You know, look at another stat. You know, look at the percentage of points created of a player for the entire season. Trey Young led the NBA, creating 41.4% of our entire points throughout the whole season. And that's phenomenal. That's fantastic. But it's not the formula for long-term success when you talk about the playoffs, when you do have good defensive teams and you have great coaches like Spo that will scheme that up. And so that's why, you know, whether it be somebody growing from within or we go out and get it from the outside, we got to have somebody else that can step up and take some of that load off the Trey, man. Because, you know, we just shouldn't even want to put this on him another season like this, to be honest with you.
Again, we can't waste another season of Trey Young. We can't do that. We owe it to Trey. Remember, people are saying, "Oh well, the Atlanta Falcons will never win until they do right by Mike Vick," which is a stupid statement, but whatever. But right now, the Atlanta Hawks need to do right by Trey Young. That's a fact. Trey said that he got people in position to hit shots and they missed them. That is the truth. That is the truth. And at a certain point, that's what it's coming down to. Somebody else has to be able to do it. And again, aside from injury, again, Hunter is not injured. Not this time. Kevin's not hurt. Bogey's a little dinged up, I guess, whatever. But for the most part, our team is healthy. Okay? Now, John isn't. John is one of the focal points of this team. If John was full healthy, we might not be having this discussion. If just John was healthy. Right? So it's a matter of, aside from that, the players know John ain't all the way there. So you mean to tell me nobody can take personal responsibility and say, my name is Kevin, I'm Red Mamba, or Red Velvet, whatever, I don't like Red Velvet, I'm Red Mamba, I'm not missing no shots, and I'm going to play except for no defense.
I don't want to go Red Mamba no more, man.
Well, I know, but I'm still trying, man. And my name is DeAndre Hunter, and I'm not letting Jimmy Butler do this stupid foolery stuff he's been doing, right? Because Wright has been doing his thing. Like you said, we didn't get that the first 5 months of the season, but the last month and a half, Wright's been one of our best players, straight up, right? So he's doing his thing, but we need everybody else who gets to play every night, air quotes again. They all got to do it. But again, if they can't or won't, that means that head coach has to make a decision and say, okay, we're going to lose. I'm going to lose playing full effort. So that means Knox and TLC got to be out there. Or we just play the Rooks. Or at least play Skyler. Skyler can hit shots. Skyler can move without the ball. Skyler can pass the ball. Skyler can play with a little bit of injury on defense. He can do some stuff, and he's been negated off this team like he don't even exist. And that's one of the really disrespectful things about that as far as this season goes as well. So I just want to see the team fight. I want to see a ninja drop kick. I need to, you know, Hunter did do good with Kyle the other night. We need to see that. I give him credit for that. But we need everybody to do it though. We need some hands on throats since Jimmy wanted to do that to Trey the other night. You see what I'm saying? I need something to say we still are in this and you're not going to forget us. Somehow, would love for us to get to Game 7 somehow, but I don't know. But I need the players to want that. I need the players to be like, you know what, we done messed up. We're going to fix this ourselves because it's on us. and we need to help Trey out because Trey is getting targeted because we being sorry. That's the basics of it. We being sorry, so they basically said, since y'all are sorry, we don't got to worry about nothing. And then, by the way, y'all not going to stop us from getting these free throws because the refs are getting, wait a minute, refs are getting paid off again. But anyway, I can't get fined. But anyway, but this as a joke. But the refs are calling some bogus stuff, though. We do know that. That's a fact. You can't get around that either, right? But you got to work with it, though. You can't stop it, so you got to adjust to that. Right?
Yeah, you gotta control
the things you can control. We ain't doing it though. And that's what, again, what's so mystifying about this whole situation is, when is it gonna happen? And when are we going to make a decision that this ain't the way? This is like the Mandalorian. This is the way? Come on. I need a way. Because right now we don't have a way, y'all. So, Jordan, do you have any final thoughts before we get out of here tonight, sir?
Yeah, just a couple of quick points. Looking at some other action around the league. Earlier, the Celtics beat the Nets 116-112, complete the four-game sweep. All that talk about people avoiding Brooklyn, and Brooklyn didn't even win a game. Doc Rivers lost another closeout game today. Toronto.
Really? Oh, God.
Yeah, Toronto 103, Philadelphia 88. And right now, the Dallas Mavericks lead the Utah Jazz 68-49 in the third quarter. Looks like they're finally going to get a win with Luka returning, but Jalen Brunson also has 18 points, which is a big help for them in this game as well. So, yeah, man, just wanted to update that. The other thing I hate to say it, but I got to say it. You know, you always love to talk about an Atlanta winning weekend. Well, yesterday, the Braves lost to the Miami Marlins. As well as Atlanta United lost to the Miami soccer team. So we just got straight up owned by the city of Miami yesterday. And I'm not happy about it, sir.
Well, we used to own the city of New York. I guess somebody had to own us eventually, and it looks like it's the MIA. So that's kind of depressing now that you throw all that in there. How did that happen in the solar system that all those games would be against the city, the same city and stuff? So now it's like, what can we do to fight that now? But everybody, you know, we are Atlanta sports fans, but we also are realistic as well, you know, and we just want to see the team play their best, you know. And again, we've had John on the show and we've had Dominique on the show and other people, you know, we are fans of the team, but we are going to say something when certain players ain't doing it doesn't matter who they are. If it's Trey, if Trey Young never does this show, it is what it is, right? But when you sign a contract, when you sign a dotted line to be a professional athlete, that comes with a lot of different responsibilities, and one of them is being able to accept criticism for your game, whatever the deficiency might be from one time or another, right? And so, again, whether it be when Trey has those bad turnover nights, that's going to be mentioned. We can't just be like, oh, don't worry about those 10 turnovers. How can you say that with a straight face, right? So, again, or if it's, again, bogey, not hitting no threes at all, or if it's Kevin, you know, again, we needed more than whatever points he didn't have last night. Like, if he had just had 15 points, that would have been, like, we could have competed a little bit. But that's not what happened last night, right? So, again, it's just a matter of we just want to see the team play its best all the time. I don't think that's a stretch. And we want to see the coach do his best, too. And the rest of that staff, again, I don't know what the rest of that staff does. I'm not getting into it because we're about to close out the show. But I don't know what nobody does because it's not showing up on the court. Again, where is the film study? There is no way they could be doing film if they keep overhelping. We can't fight through screens. We can't rotate. We can't block out. Like, how can we just never block out? Like, think about how many games we would have won this year if we had just blocked out all the time, all season long. We might have five more victories just by default, just from blocking out, not everything else I just mentioned, okay? Getting back on defense, stopping the fast break. Jordan has mentioned the numbers in regards to how come we're the slowest-paced team in the NBA with Trae Young on our team.
Yeah, I think we're like number 18.
What's the excuse of that? Because there's an excuse there somewhere. Want to know why? Because that's not something they train on. You see what I'm saying? Not like the other teams, right?
And they want to let those guys loose and run because he'll have a heart attack. And that's just not what he's used to seeing. I did want to hit on one other thing you mentioned, though, as far as why we don't lead the league in defensive 3 seconds. Because you got to actually be in the paint to get a defensive 3 seconds. And half the time, we sink it down to the paint, but we're not even fully committed to shutting the paint off. We're just in no man's land.
Just
poking around, letting people just tee off downtown.
There was one time I think it was Gallo, and Gallo like literally like stared at the dude as he was doing the layup. It was just a basic thing. I was like, what are you doing? Are you serious? Before we get off the show, Mr. Michael Smith from Atlanta. Everyone sucks right now. Unfortunately, a lot of growing up needed this off season. And rotation issues sort of because of Trey, though, is better when DeLon on the floor with whoever. Rotation issues. Oh, as far as rotating from side. Now it was at one time that Trey was out there kind of in no man's land too, but I don't incorporate the rotation issue with, well, definitely it ain't just Trey because it's the whole team. We're just terrible at it. Not Trey so much, but a lot of other players, they just have trouble getting to the spot. But yeah, there was that one time I remember from the other night that Trey was just like way on the other side, and he does know what. I don't understand how people can't stay attached to their man. I don't understand how you could just turn your complete back to your guy. Like, what's so important on this side that's not your guy, and you're not in a double team? So, again, you're illegal defense all the time. Like, how does that happen? It's like, that should be impossible, but it happens all the time with us. Go ahead.
Real quick, sir. I need to hit up Jamal Price. Shout out to Jamal. I think I'm going to need to get one of those Luka and the Hawk shirts to wear on the show. Because, I mean, somebody had the nerve to say something to me earlier that things would be different if he was here. But I'm just looking at a tweet right now come across. This is exactly what I hate. We had Luka, and we traded him for Trey. LMAO. That killed our franchise. Sir, if Luka was on this team with this same roster and this same coach staff, it would be the same exact thing. Okay? Luka, first of all, that team was 2-1 in games Luka didn't play in that series against Utah, all right? For one. For two, Utah's coach is not Eric Spoelstra. Eric Spoelstra would build that wall and scheme for Luka the same way he's doing for Trey, and other guys will be forced to make shots. And if they ain't making them, it'd be the same as that result. Luka ain't no different than Trey in that regard. He ain't no different than Michael Jordan when he had no Scottie Pippen. Ain't no different than LeBron James before he went to play with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. He is no more special, not even close to being as special as some of those guys. Ain't no different than Kobe Bryant playing with Smush Parker, Chris Mill, and Brian Cook. Ain't no different. So the notion that we'd be some kind of greater position of the franchise, that's absolutely false.
And with that being said, everybody, we're going to sign off for tonight. Tonight was going to be a little bit of a quick show. Really, we just specifically talking Hawks basketball tonight because of what happened later on this week, though. We will be having our NFL draft show on Around the ATL for the Atlanta Falcons. It's going to be very exciting. That's going to be on Wednesday night starting at 10 o'clock. And please, please, please tune in on Friday evening, 7 o'clock. We have a special show. We have Jerome Jurinovich. Of Atlanta Live and Hawks Live is going to be on the show. Remember, he just recently retired, so we're going to get to hear about just all of his broadcast expertise over the years and his privilege of being able to cover these teams over a period of time. And we get to talk about, you know, of course, current state of affairs with everything, but we're going to have a lot of fun with that particular interview. So that's at 7 o'clock on Friday. Please definitely subscribe to the YouTube channel, IMTN Worldwide Radio. Around the ATL is going to be continually broadcast. You can listen to past shows on Spotify, Amazon Music, and also iHeartRadio. Make sure you follow the IMTN Worldwide Radio page on Instagram. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, Intellect ATL and Jordan23 ATL. Make sure you do that. Jordan, any final shout-outs before we get off, man?
Yeah, just real quick, wanted to add to that Friday show which Jerome is going to be on. We also are going to have the NFL draft rounds 2 and 3 going on that night. So,
oh, yeah.
So we can actually talk about some of these picks live as they're being made. We certainly catch the second-round pick while we're on the air. May actually catch the third-round pick as well. Other than that, sir, I just want to thank God for giving me this breath that I breathe. Talk about these Atlanta, these Georgia sports that I love.
All right, guys. Well, y'all take care. Make sure you tune in the rest of this week, and let's see if we can get one more game in for the Atlanta Hawks. But in the meantime, y'all have a good one. All right, peace.